Let's start first with prayer. We thank you, Lord, as we are singing to you to speak to us till your church is built, till the whole world is full with your glory. So now, O Lord, we invite you to speak to us. We invite you, O Lord, that you may unleash your word into our ears, into our hearts, that you may hear, O Lord, exactly what you want us to hear from you this morning. This word, O Lord, that is powerful to save, O Lord, may you use it today in the ears of your children who are listening, and those, O Lord, who will listen to it on the internet. May you work, O Lord, we pray. May you help us, O Lord, to be an instrument of your usage this morning. May you keep me, O Lord, from error. May you be with me this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brethren, let's read from the book of John, 1 John, chapter 2. From verse 5 to verse
6.
During the service, we read the whole chapter 1, and we read chapter 2 from verse 1 to verse 6. So for now, we're just going to focus our message on chapter 2, verse 5 to verse 6. While I was preparing this message, I realized the importance of just giving you a background of why this letter was written. I don't know, maybe just me, but I like reading the history behind the letters first. Then I get to understand the verses, why the person is saying the things that he's saying. So verse 5 and verse 6 of chapter 2.
Verse 5 and verse 6 of chapter 2. In English it reads as follows. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Amen.
Ka sotere empa ya boloka lentsula hai ke o ruri lerato la mdimu le phethehileng ka ho yena sena ke seo re tsebang ka sona gore re phela ho yena ya reng o phela ho yena e ka gona le yena a tsamaye ka mo Jesu a neng a tsamaya ka teng. Now in this letter we find John writing this letter at a time when the church was faced with many challenges. There were false teachers who had made their way into the church. And these false teachers were perverting the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many people were following them and listening to them as if they were telling the truth. So they created so much confusion inside the church. So John, as the last surviving apostle, was compelled to write this letter and remind the people of the truths of the gospel. So what these first teachers were doing, they were telling people that Jesus was not born in the flesh. Like Pastor Bembe preached the first 2 weeks of this year of how Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
Bethlehem.
He preached that he was born as a young baby who had a human body like me and you. But these false teachers were coming into the church and say Jesus was not born, he did not have a human body. So now people were starting to ask themselves if Jesus really had a human body. Now these false teachers were influenced by Greek philosophy that said a human body was evil. So because the human body in a mind was evil, then Jesus could not have a human body. That's why then they tried to present Jesus as if he did not have a spiritual, a physical body. But then John, as a witness of Jesus, as someone who knew Jesus, reminds the people that Jesus really did have a human body. That's why when he starts this letter in chapter 1, verse 1, he gives them this testimony of Jesus. He says, he that we have heard, he that we have seen with our eyes, and looked upon him and touched with our hands. So he is giving them proofs that Jesus really did have a human body. Now we see that he deals with these false teachers later on in this same letter in chapter 4. Let's read chapter 4, verse 2. In Sut he says, Tasiba moya oswang humujimu kasena, moya omulomung opakan Jesu Kriste yatileng elumutu oswa humujimu. Ati moya omulo le omung osapakin Jesu ha utwe humujimu.
In English it says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist.
So now he is making it clear that these people who were saying that Jesus did not have a human body were false teachers. But I want you to understand one important thing about all false teachings that are going around. And I want you to see what this false teaching wanted to achieve inside the church. All false teachings want to cause people to sin. Now this false teaching was not different. It wanted to give people a license to sin. It looked as though it wanted to protect the deity of Christ, but in actual fact, it was just an excuse to let people to sin.
Now
this false teaching wanted to tell people that, well, whatever you do in the human body, if you sin in the human body, that does not matter. So they thought that people can sin as much as they wanted in the human body and they will not face any consequences. So these four teachers taught that people can sin and that won't affect their standing with God. Now remember that these were the things that were taught inside the church of God. Now they were taught so that people can sin as much as they want and there is no need for them to repent or to be saved from their sins. Now these things of course they were taught 2000 years ago, but we also see them now even inside the church. That's why in chapter 2 verse 1 John gives the reason why he's writing this letter. He's saying he's writing this letter so that you should not sin. Now we see today even in churches that people are preaching the same things, that you can sin and that will not affect your standing with God. People are taught that they can live like devils and drink sin like they are drinking water, yet this will not matter to God. That's why we see people inside the church who claim to be Christians committing some of the vile sins inside the church because they think God does not care about them sinning. That's why you see even those who claim to be pastors being the ones who sin and disgrace the name of Christ. One pastor was telling myself and Bembe of what happened in his church. He was telling us of this pastor within his church who slept with the wife of another pastor within the church. But this perpetrator continued to serve inside the church and to serve in the community as a pastor. So that just shows that people do not think that sins committed in the body have any significance to God. But then how does John respond to these people who are indulging in sin? Firstly, he tells them that they are sinners. Because they did not believe that they were sinners, they thought that they can sin, but they are still righteous. In chapter 1, verse 8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
More chapter 1, verse 8, or Harare Harana Sivi, right?
He says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Now that's what these false teachers were doing and making people to believe by denying the existence of sin in their lives. But John reminds them that all humans were born in sin and that they deceive themselves if they say they have no sin. Now John is doing this so that he can remind them of the need of repentance and that they can see the need of salvation. Because, brethren, it is impossible for a person to be saved who does not believe that he is a sinner.
Now,
having shown them their sin, now John shows them the faithfulness of God to forgive their
sins.
In chapter 1, verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the first two verses of chapter 2, he shows people that Jesus Christ was the atonement for our sin. Now John here is reminding them that though you have sinned, but God is able to forgive you your sins. And he now encourages them to confess their sins to God so they may be forgiven. So now, brethren, we get to where we are reading in verse 5 and verse 6, where John encourages people to walk like Christ walked. He says, by this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Now John here says, Jesus as an example for a believer to follow. Now, he's saying if a person say he's a Christian, then his manner of life should be the same as the way Jesus' manner of life was. So
it's
saying that the proof that you are a Christian is the fact that you will walk the same way that Christ walked. So he's putting Christ as a standard in which people can use to determine if anyone who claims to be a Christian is really a Christian or not. So if you are saying that you are a Christian, then we have to look at Jesus' life and look at your life and compare the two lives and know if you really are a Christian. Now John here did this comparison between Christ and these people of his time. And he came to these observations or to these conclusions about the people. One of the conclusions is that these people were walking in darkness. In verse 6, he says, if we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So these people's minds were darkened. That's why they could be deceived by these false teachers. Firstly, John indicated that Christ is light. But these people were walking in darkness. So if Christ was light, how can you be walking in darkness? So he was showing them that there was a discrepancy, a difference between these people's life and the life of Christ. He was showing them that they were not like Christ, who stood firm when confronted with false teaching. In Matthew chapter 4, we see the tempter coming to tempt Christ. Now this tempter came to Christ with false teaching. He twisted the truth of the Bible. But instead of Christ being deceived, he quoted scripture to correct this false teaching. He was tempted to turn stones into bread, but he replied with scripture. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He was tempted to throw himself to the ground and command angels to come and rescue him in the air so that he could not fall. But he replied with scripture and said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. He was tempted as well to fall down and worship Satan. But he replied with scripture and said, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So how then do you walk like Christ when confronted with false teaching? You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. So that means you should meditate on the word of God and make it your delight each and every day. So when temptation or false teachings come your way, you shall be able to stand like Christ stood and quote scripture to correct the false teaching. Another observation that John made regarding these people is the fact that they had no regard for the commandments of God. Not only were their minds darkened, but their hearts were also darkened. So they engaged in sin to show that they had no regard for the commandments of God. That's why in chapter 2, verse 3, John says, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. So John is saying that those who claim to be Christians will keep the commandments of God. They will not find themselves living lives or doing things but they are contrary to the word of God. Not only will they know the word of God and meditate on it, but they will follow it and do as it says. But these people that John is writing to, they were not keeping the commandments of God. That's why John is telling them plainly in verse 4 of chapter 2 that whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So John is saying to them that they are liars and cannot be in Christ, because Christ loved the commandments of God and taught others to obey them. So if Christ loved the commandments, kept the commandments, and taught others to keep the commandments, then they can be in the same Christ when they're breaking the commandments of God. We hear of a story of the rich young ruler who came to Christ one day and asked him what he must do to have eternal life. And Christ said, if you will enter life, keep the commandments. Now Christ knew that salvation is not by keeping the commandments, because no human can keep the commandments fully, but still he told them to keep the commandments. But Christ was telling him this because he knew that this rich young ruler had no love of God in him. So, brethren, no one will be saved by keeping the law, but no saved person will continue to break the law of God. So the proof that we have that you are saved is the fact that you keep the commandments of God. Those who love God will be seen by their love of the commandments of God. They will not continue lying. They will not continue stealing. They will not continue engaging in sex outside of marriage. They will not continue engaging in homosexuality. They will not have more things that are more important to them than God. On the Lord's day, the one have other plans that they have instead of coming to the house of the Lord. They will not have things or people that they love more than they love God. Because that will be contrary to the law of God. So they will cherish the law of God like Christ did. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, let's turn there quickly and then we can see what Christ said of the commandments of God.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 19,
Matthew chapter 5 verse 19. It says,
therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
So now Christ is exalting these commandments of God and encouraging Christians to keep these commandments. And he's telling us, whoever teaches people not to obey these commandments will be least in the kingdom of God. But whoever does and teaches these commandments will be great in the kingdom of God.
Are o rutang planning o tswara melao ena ya modimo o tloba moholo bo musong wa modimo.
So it cannot be possible for a Christian to continue sinning while he is a Christian. So the proof that you are saved is the hatred you have for sin. Now that does not mean that you'll be perfect, but it means that you are striving for perfection in your obedience to the law of God. Now we see that Christ himself obeyed the law. The Bible says he was tempted just as we are, yet without sin. Now, if we want to walk like Christ, then we should obey these commandments
of God.
And we should separate ourselves from sin. So there should not be sin to be found amongst us.
There
should not be sin to be hypocrites who preaches one thing yet live in a different way. We should not be found to be those who discredit the word of God based on the way we live our lives. But we should always be found to be holy in character in all that we are doing. Another observation that John makes here is that these people had no love for one another. In chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers." Whoever does not love abides in death. So now John here is saying, if you are a Christian and you still do not have love for other Christians, then you are still in your sins. You are still dead in your sins. So you cannot claim to have this eternal life when you do not love your brothers. And we see that in chapter 2 verse 11, that they hated other brothers.
Rabona umona chapter 2 verse 11.
That's why Christ says they are still in their sins.
Kikamo Johane are banse bali divinza bon.
So now we see that another way we need to walk like Christ is in the love that we should have for one another.
Rabona mona haportela engwe ya re tsamaya le morana Jesu ko re ratane.
So we cannot claim to be in Christ when we do not have love for one another. Because this faith that we have in Jesus Christ comes out of the love from God. It is this eternal love that God has for us that we are now able to call ourselves Christians. And this love of God the Father was manifested in the love that Christ Jesus had for us. That's why Christ gave up his life for us, because he loved us. So the Father loved the Son, and the Son loved the church, and he gave his life for it.
So
it's not possible to be a Christian when you do not have love in your heart. In John chapter 13 verse 34, Jesus commands his disciples to love one another.
Mo John chapter 13 Morena Jesu o khotsa ba apostola ba ha yo re paratane.
He says, a new command I give you, love one another.
Ore mola o motsha ke le fa ona hore le rataneng.
He says, as I have loved you, you must love one another.
Ore jalo ka ke le ratile le rona le rataneng.
So how can you then say you love Christ when you do not love these brothers and sisters in Christ?
Jalo wena ta shojwa hore o rata mora na Jesu impa o sna le rato lena go ba u ba dumetse.
So another proof that you are saved is the fact that you will have love for God and have love for these brothers and sisters in Christ. But you can say that you love God or you are a Christian when you don't love your husband or your wife. That's why we are commanded to love our wives just as Christ has loved the church. But that could you say that you love God and you love Christ when you do not love the sinner? Those people you know who are not saved, how could you say you love Christ when you do not love them? Your love for them will be shown by you encouraging them to repent and have faith in Jesus Christ. If you do not have compassion for the damnation that is waiting for them, then you cannot claim to love them. He will not be like Christ who says that he gave up his life so that whoever believes in him should be saved. So Christ loved those sinners, those who do not know him, and he shown his love for them in that he gave up his life for them.
Morena ula bonsa lerato la hae ka hore ena a shwele bona ba etsa dibana ba na barata.
So to be like Christ, to walk like him, we have to love sinners enough to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Hore ho bona ha le hore re badumedi tshwantse re rate ba etsa dibi ba hore re bona re ba khothatse hore ba fetuele o morena.
And we cannot have anger or bitterness in our hearts if we claim to be in Christ.
Ha re khone hore re tshware lehlo dipelong tsa rona ha re ho morena.
So how would you know that you are in Christ?
O tla tseba jwang hore o moreneng na?
If you walk like Christ walked.
Ha o tsamaya jwalo ka Kriste a tsamaile.
And how would you walk like Christ walked?
O tla tsamaya jwang jwalo ka Kriste?
If you are walking in the light of his truth.
Ha o tsamaya khanyeng ya lentswe la hae.
If you love the commandments of God and obey them.
Ha o rata melao ya Modimo ebile ane o itshwara.
Because Christ loved the commandments of God and obeyed the commandments of God. You would walk like Christ if you delight in God's word and meditate on it day and night. And you would walk like Christ if you love these brothers and sisters in Christ. And you would walk like Christ if you love those sinners enough to tell them about this gospel of Jesus Christ. You cannot claim to be a Christian when you continue to live in sin. It is not possible for a Christian to continue to sin. You have to hate the sin that you used to love and to love the righteousness that you used to hate. These people that John is writing to, they were fooled into thinking they were Christians. Maybe one of you is fooled as well into thinking you are a Christian. But you still have love for sin in your heart. Then you are deceived like these people were deceived. Then you need to do what John says, not to lie to yourself saying you do not have sin. But you need to confess your sin to God, who is faithful and just to forgive your sin. And to look at this advocate that we have, who gave up himself to be the propitiation for our sin. And to walk like Christ walked. To love the commandments of God. To love the brothers. To walk in the light of the truth of the gospel. For your life to be an example to other Christians. So let's consider these things brethren. Let's examine our lives and see if we really are in the truth. If our lives does not match up to the life of Christ, then we need to confront the sin that is within us. Because it cannot be possible for a Christian not to be like Christ. You may not be able to do miracles that Christ did. You may not be perfect like Christ was. But it cannot be possible for you not to be like him. So if we are in Christ, let's walk like Christ walked. Let's close our eyes and pray. We thank you, O Lord. We thank you that you are faithful and just to forgive our sins. We thank you that you are light and in you there's no darkness. And O Lord, you have given us this word that we may be able to gaze upon this light that it provides to us as a lamp to our feet, O Lord, that we may not walk in darkness. That we, O Lord, may know the way that we need to walk. That we, O Lord, may not be deceived by any teachings that springs up and tries to compete with your word. That, O Lord, we may walk like Christ walked. So we thank you, O Lord, and I pray for every one of your children, O Lord, that you may use this word to challenge them to desire to be more holy, to desire to walk righteously in your sight, O Lord, to leave the sins that maybe they are entangled in them, O Lord. May you help your children, O Lord, to walk like you walked, to love you, O Lord, like the Son loved you and gave himself up for the church, O Lord. So we pray that you may be merciful, O Lord, for these people. That, O Lord, they may walk like you, that they may be an example to brothers and sisters, to the whole flock that you have. So we give you thanks and honor, O Lord, as a church, that you may help us not to be hypocrites, not to have sin amongst us, O Lord, not to walk in unrighteousness and sin, that you may keep us, O Lord, to be a holy church in your sight. So be with us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. We thank you, brethren, for being with us this morning. Amen.